Just for funsies.
Yeah, not for practice, just for actual worship.
Yep.
How do we actually end that? Different key signature after that. Okay. Times. I think we're going to have to fully finish that song so that we can get into a different time. Not D, they're all in D.
Welcome to church today. It's wonderful to have you here with us. And what a wonderful day. What an awesome day it is too. I didn't know what to wear. I was a bit confounded with the warmth today. It's wonderful. So it's great to be here. And this month of September that we're in, we've been speaking about our hope and our heart and our hope. So Ty and I have been sharing the things that have been very deep for us, and Ty's spoken about the importance of knowing God as our Father that loves us, that is here for us, protecting us and providing, and as a friend who's always with us, who's always speaking into our hearts, the real truth that we need to know about who God is and who we are. Last week, I spoke about the fact that we're all called to follow Jesus, all called to follow God. And this week, if we can have the slide up, this week we're talking about loving the church. Thanks, Keith. Awesome. Loving the church. Actually, in the next slide now. Thanks, Keith. So, love. Who likes to watch a really good romantic movie? A rom-com. Yes. Oh, hands are even going up. There's confession in the room. I love it. I do. It's a great escape, isn't it? You know, two people who lock eyes on each other and suddenly they come alive. There's this great joy and hope that sparked in their hearts that they've met the one. They've met someone who is going to bring security and meet all of their, you know, deepest needs in their heart. And Hollywood knows that. Hollywood knows that we like to see that. They make millions out of it. And they seem to have tapped into something about how we're made. There's something about being in love, the idea of it, that we love to see. And sometimes it's because in our own life we haven't experienced it yet, or we want to, or we just love seeing love being played out before us. And unfortunately, other people take advantage of that. I mean, I hear on, you know, current affair programs about these scammers that, you know, somehow get into the hearts of those and in their, into the internet and lounge room of people who are seeking love and take advantage and exploit that. They exploit that inner cry that we want to experience love, to be overwhelmed with love, to be swept up and swept away with love. So these scammers and the Hollywood people have tapped into something that I think is a divine precept, something that's very foundational to being human. And that's the DNA of how God's created us, if I can have the next slide. Because Scripture tells us that God is love. And when we read the beginning of the Bible, we see that we've been created in God's image, that this beautiful God of love, this beautiful community of love, because the Christian God is three persons in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So for all eternity, they have been giving and receiving love, beautiful, pure love to one another. So it's out of love that they create everything we see. They've created you and me. So they've created us that we might experience love. We might experience what it means to receive and also to give love as they do. We've been created in the beautiful image of God. So, you know, when we, God gives us an invitation to follow God into new life and what that looks like, we're actually really accepting an invitation into a divine romance. And in that romance, God wants to open up our eyes to what true love really looks like, who we really are, who God really is. You know, there's a saying that says love is blind. And that completely is the opposite. You know, true love opens our eyes. It's not blind and actually reveals to us what's true, which is what God wants to do. And he actually wants to show us what a true romantic really looks like and what love really looks like. Because in life, as much as we try to find love with other human beings or with other things like money, we might love all these things, but all of these things will fail us. They're not perfect. Our heart cry for real love is really only satisfied in God alone. So as much as we want to engage, and we do need to use our minds to understand God and understand Scripture, following God is also very much a matter of our hearts. God wants to captivate our hearts. Has your heart been captivated by his love? Swept up? If not, will you let God captivate your heart? God tries to... Now, if you're quite a logical, cerebral kind of person in this room and you're thinking, Maria, you're really going off on a tangent here, talking about love stories and romance and movies, please try and hang in there with me. Come along. See if I can't convince you. God has really tried to explain and... demonstrate and describe this, how he really loves us in Scripture. And in the Old Testament, we see God speaking to his people through prophets, and he would give them messages. And often he would say to his people, "Don't you know I'm your husband? Don't you know I'm the one here who's here to provide for you and to protect you and love you? I love you like a husband loves his wife. Don't you know that?" You know, it's interesting that God chose to use very relational language and language that was really intimate too. A husband and a wife. I mean, there's obviously that an intimacy that they experienced. It wasn't just a friendship. Husband and wife. You know, God could use any language that God wants to use. He could have used, "Don't you know I'm your greatest protector," or "I'm your overlord," or whatever it is to show that he can do what he wants to do. But instead, he uses really intimate relational language. And his people at that time, and all through the Old Testament, you know, really didn't understand, didn't take God at his word. And so the prophet, God spoke through the prophet again to describe what they were like and describe them as an unfaithful wife, we see in Jeremiah, and lots of other things that weren't really nice. But again, intimate language to describe the type of relationship that God is wanting for us. Right from the beginning, he started that in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, walking with them, being there. There was a perfection in their relationship. Nothing was hidden. It was beautiful. But as we choose not to, Adam and Eve didn't, sin came in and there was distance. And so God has kept trying to woo us with this beautiful intimate language. And so God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah to talk about a new way that God was planning to connect with humanity with love. So if we can have a look at the next slide, Jeremiah 1:33. Thanks, Keith. So let me read through this. So this is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel at that time. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. So prior to that, the law was written on stone, tablets of stone. And God said, no, this is not working. I am going to be writing it on their minds and in their hearts. And this language of mind and heart is really talking about how God is going to speak right inside us and connect with our inner being and he'll be doing it through his own spirit, through God's spirit. So speaking internally, not externally on tablets of stone. He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. So again, his game plan doesn't change. Same goal. He wants us to know that we're with him and he is ours, that there is this closeness. And then he goes on, no longer will a man teach his neighbour or a man, his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. So he's saying everyone will have this inner knowing about who God is. Scripture obviously is still very valid that we learn and understand, but there's going to be this inner understanding that God will allow, and that will be through his very presence in us. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So there's a real permanence about that, and that's a permanence that comes later in history, when God appears in flesh through Jesus Christ. Now, what's really interesting is this word know. Know the Lord. They will all know me. And that word know is the same, is a very deep knowing, and it's actually used in Genesis. Way back in Genesis in chapter 4, verse 1, where it says that Adam made love to Eve and they had a son. So that knowing is actually referred to as sexual intercourse, the deepest physical connection that we can know one with another. So the knowing that God actually wants us to have, he makes really clear again that it's more than just an understanding here, but it's the most intimate experience of love that is possible for us. All of who we are is to love God. Mind, heart, emotions, body, all of who we are. God says, I want to come into that space with you with the fullness of love that no one else can give except me. Come, let me in. And Jesus said, if we could look at the next slide, that the most important thing that we are to do is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So God's message continues to us. Have you ever been in love? Have you had that experience when that moment when someone does captivate your heart, when you feel completely drawn and they consume all your thoughts and your attention? Have you ever experienced that with someone? I have. That's a relief. That's a good relief. Well, you know, God actually wants us to experience him like that. He wants us to be so captivated that we just think about how beautiful God is all the time. How God is so good. Oh, just love you, God. Thank you, Lord. He wants us to be so consumed with him. And God keeps showing us how good his love is to us and for us. And the next slide in Romans, Paul writes that God demonstrated or showed his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, we didn't even want to know who God is. He didn't wait for us to love him first before he died for us to make the way open for us. How amazing is that sort of love? I mean, we love because we usually want to get something back. But love, the love that God has, is no strings attached. I'm going to love you no matter what. That's what God says. I'm going to love you no matter what. You may fall, you may do the wrong thing, but I'm still going to love you. I'm still here for you. And all I'm asking, would you come? Would you trust me? Would you come to me and let me be your God? Let me speak to you. Let me lead you. Let me show you what real living is really like, because I made you. I know what real living is like for you because I know how you're made. So as we put our faith in what God has done on the cross through Jesus, that he bore all of our sin, everything that we can do or will ever do, he did that. He paid the price for us so that we don't have to and that you don't have to. And gave us forgiveness that we have free access to, that is with us all the time. And he rose to new life, that we too can rise and have new life, this new life with God as our Lord. And as we put our faith in what God has done through Jesus Christ, the amazing thing happens. God comes into our hearts. He comes in. God the Holy Spirit comes in and empowers us to be like Jesus, to love God and others. If we can look at Romans, the next one, it says that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. How amazing. How amazing is that? And the Gospels talk about who Jesus is and what he's done. And then in the book of Acts, immediately following, it talks about how the Holy Spirit comes, has been given to us. And what happens when God, the Holy Spirit, God who is love, comes into our hearts and we see amazing things go on. The church is born. And Jesus says some amazing things about the church. He says, I love the church and I'm building the church. As you come to me in faith, I'm building you together and I'm building the church. And he also, interestingly, uses really romantic language again, Jesus does, about us, about the church. If we can look at the next slide, we see in Ephesians 5:25, he uses that romantic language again about husbands loving your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So again, it says that Jesus is loving us in this intimate, wonderful, amazing way that has been consistent all the way through Scripture, through God's story to us about how he loves us. That same word about how Christ loved the church is the same word used for how God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And this love is so extreme that God is willing to make sacrifice for us. Us who keep going astray, that's what God's love is like. And to make her holy, to be like Jesus, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And that word is not the black and white word we read, but it's the rhema. It's a word spoken to us by a living voice. So as we read God's word, we can ask, God, would you really speak to me into my heart as I read this word? Because that's what God wants to do. And that's what Jesus is saying will happen, that he wants to speak to our hearts real truth about who God is as we read about him, as we pray. God wants to speak to us that we might hear God's voice. And he's doing this so that he will, as we journey with Jesus, that he's making us holy, washing us, cleaning us, making us more like who Jesus is, to serve others in this world, to love others, so that at the end, he has us, a radiant church without stain or wrinkle. And at the end of the Bible in Revelations, we see that we're called the bride and that he's making us into his beautiful bride. This part of Ephesians talks about relationships within families, but also says at the bottom, this is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So there is stuff that Paul is saying, but it would seem part of the main message here is for us to understand how God loves us, the way that God loves us, the way that Jesus loves the church. And so for the men out there who aren't too sure, or, you know, who are focused on their relationship in their family, fantastic, that's great, that's a part of it. But it's also understanding that we're all drawn up into this romance together, that together we're all the bride of Christ, and that for all of us, God wants us to experience our hearts being swept away and captivated by his love. So, as the New Testament unfolds after the Gospels, it really shows us how important the church is as God, the Holy Spirit, inspired mainly Paul and others to write, because it contains advice about how the church should be, how the church should come together, how we should operate, and how we should be as God's people in this world. So church is clearly not a building. Some people go, so I'm going to go to church as though it's a building, but obviously it's not all the traditions that we might want to hold on to or the institution, but it's a group of people that have truly responded in their hearts to God's love and have set their hearts toward God, to follow God in all that they do. And to see what that really looks like, we've got lots of examples. But a great one here is from Acts 2, and other scriptures there I put at the bottom. So please have a look at those. But this is what it looks like to be filled with God's love, to be the church, that we want to see people turn from living for themselves and turn to God, to repent, to get baptized, to be filled with the Spirit, to urge others to come and experience God's love with us. Let's learn about God together. Let's share communion. Let's remember what Jesus has done for us. Let's encourage one another in our faith. Let's pray. Let's worship God like we've done today with thankful hearts. How awesome. Let's come and be filled with expectation. God is real. God is with us. He speaks to us. And to make sure that no one is in need, but we share what we have and meet together as often as we can. When we look at this list, we can see that being the church is a lot more than a few Christians having a cuppa together. It's sharing God in amazing ways. And the church is so attractive that others can't stay away. It said that thousands were added to their number as they were meeting. God's love and action seen through us is so irresistible to others. And so whether we realise it or not today, we are all made by God and made for God. We're all made for divine love and for God's divine romance. And we're made to experience God's love right now and forever. Jesus is loving us and preparing us to be with him forever, to be his bride, to have celebration, for us to experience love amazingly in every cell of our being forever. And it's in God's presence where he wants us to be all the time that we also find deep rest for our souls, our heart, our inner being. When we're in God's presence, we know that we're home. And in Psalm 62, it says, "My soul finds rest in God alone." And I know that when I came and said yes to Jesus when I was 19 and said, "Yeah, God, I really know that you're real. I'm going to follow you. Absolutely. Yes." Just at that moment, I knew something had changed and I realised I felt like I've come home. I didn't know I was lost to begin with. I didn't know there was a home to come back to or to find, but I'm there. I'm home. I'm in God's presence, I later found and discovered and learned that love had come into my life and I had God's presence in my life and I'd come home. And today I'm talking about our hope, my heart and my hope. My hope is that we will all discover that. And I've discovered that through being in the church. And I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I love it. Doesn't matter what church I go to, I feel that same, I have that same experience. I've come home, I'm with my brothers and my sisters. And I think I have that sense because all of us are carrying the very presence of God, the presence of God's love. And so together we bring God's presence wherever we are. And Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered, there I am." His presence is with us. We get to bring the presence of God to experience eternity right now together. And it's a wonderful thing. So let's love the church. Let's experience, give and receive God's love. And let's bring others into God's presence and love that they might experience it. And say yes. Let's love and serve others. Jesus loves the church. Let's love what Jesus loves. And what does it look like to love the church? Well, I think being able to do some of these things is a great way to start. Let's come together. Let's not forget to come together and come together as often as we can. And just in this last slide, sometimes, you know, it's good to think about what small steps we can take, because if we do lots of little small steps often, that actually has a really great impact. So maybe read, let God's word and his words to you, spoken to you, begin to change your heart. Help you to grow in love for him and what God loves, which is his church. Maybe just read for 10 minutes a day. Maybe we could do that. You might want to read a bit of a gospel, one of the first four books of the New Testament. Start in maybe Mark and read a chapter there, and maybe then go to another part of the New Testament, maybe one of the letters like Ephesians. You could start there and read a chapter there. And be open and have a soft heart toward God. Ask God maybe to show you something about his church that you don't know about yet. Maybe there's something you haven't realised and he wants to show you, because it's important to him. Jesus died and for us, that he might build us into his bride. Join in as much as possible. You know, we're here on Sundays. Come along on Sundays, maybe meet during the week, text one another, encourage one another in our faith, in our walk. And when we do come together, ask God, Lord, how can I serve or give to my brothers and sisters or those who are coming along today? Maybe someone needs a friend. Maybe someone needs someone just to hang out with them and not be on their own. Maybe you might pray for someone. There are many ways that we can love one another. Can I ask the worship team to come back? So we're going to have another couple of worship songs. And as we do, then we'll be moving into communion. And we want to make this time a time where God may want to speak into your heart today. Maybe you've been far away from God, and God is reminding you that he loves you with an everlasting love and wants you to know that he knows where you're at and who you are and is embracing you today. Would you open your heart to him? Let's stand as we come to worship. Lord, would you just come and move in our hearts? We come, Lord, to you, and thank you for the reminder that you love us in ways that are beyond our comprehension. And Lord, you are so close to us. Lord, you just come and do what you want to do in our hearts and in our minds and our lives. At this time, we invite you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, as we've been speaking about God's amazing love for us, I was thinking about the story in Luke where Jesus reappears to some disciples and they say, "Were our hearts not burning within us while he was talking with us?" And if you've been experiencing that today while we've been talking about God's love, or you want to, I just invite you in this next song as we sing Jesus, We Love You, as a response to that, as a Jesus, I love you too. I love you back. I encourage you to go to that place and to share with Jesus how much you love him in return, because, yeah, it's just a beautiful relationship that he's offered us. So, Jesus, we love you.